Folks, we'll make a start to the midweek service tonight, and we're singing together 510. How I praise thee, precious Saviour, that thy love laid hold of me, thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. I've given our Ukrainian friends a direct Google translation of the hymn, so I don't know how good that translation is. Hopefully it is 90% accurate. It'll give you an idea of what we are singing tonight. Let's sing on to the praise of God's glory. What we want to be and flowing through us. There's no doubt that the Lord can use us every day and every hour for that matter. May that be so. As we come to prayer, and we're going to do things just a little bit differently tonight, I want you to remember what has taken place this week in Kenya. It's been the pastors' conference there, the Reverend Harris and the Reverend Armstrong going to preach, and Mr. Hamilton also, these fine gentlemen, meeting up with our missionary, the Reverend Malcolm Patterson. So these are just some slides of the conference that took place in Kenya. I want you to remember the work that has been done and the seed that has been sown in the hearts of these men. We're also thinking about Ukraine and the House of Hope. Some of you may have seen these photographs This was yesterday. And here's the information. People came. There was one line for food and the other for medicines and the doctor. All this takes place at the House of Hope, where the elderly and the disabled live. Yesterday, there were about 700 people. So it's a lot of people to get fed, and those that have medical problems. Another matter for urgent prayer is this young woman, 32-year-old Jamie. And we got this request through our sister Sharon McCauley. Sharon Mines, one of the children. And this girl took unwell. She went to the doctor. She took very unwell in the doctor's surgery and was rushed to hospital with stroke-like symptoms, but it's not a stroke. So something's gone on there. They're not quite sure what. So please remember this young woman in prayer. The family would like us to do that. So as we come to our opening prayer tonight, these are the matters that we want you to remember. And we're going to just ask maybe two or three of you to lead us at this stage in prayer. Let's pray to be a channel of blessing as we were singing tonight. Let's pray for the work in Kenya. Let's pray for the situation in Ukraine. And then let's pray also for the 32-year-old lady that needs the Lord's touch in her life. We're also remembering Mervyn Miller. Mervyn, as you know, had the farm accident and is suffering at home in a lot of pain. And we're thinking of Aaron Laverty and praying for him. He's waiting in surgery, and twice the surgery has been postponed, and he's waiting for a date. So please remember Mervyn and Aaron. And if you wouldn't mind adding to the list John Finlay. I just heard before the meeting that John has got bad news yesterday, and the cancer in his body has spread to other organs. So let's bow in prayer, and we'll just ask two or three of you to lead us to the throne of grace, please, in prayer tonight. Yes.
Lord, we just pray for Brother Alistair Hamilton, and Lord, for the moderator, Reverend Marshall. We thank you, Lord, for their leadership. We thank you, Lord, for even the talents you've given to them. We just pray, Lord, as they meet the brother there in Kenya, Lord, that you will be even an encouragement to those there.
Amen. 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 And everybody say, I bid you welcome in the Saviour's name to the congregation and to those who are tuning in tonight on the internet. Do remember, tomorrow night we have a guest speaker coming to the Youth Fellowship. Pastor Valentine will be with us to speak with an interpreter, and we look forward to that. We invite all our young people to be with us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Lord's Day begins with the prayer meeting, 8 o'clock, the Sabbath school, 10:30, the Bible class, 10:30, the worship service, 12 noon, the gospel meeting at 7. So these are the announcements that we want to make tonight, and they're all subject to the will of God. I'm going to sing again, 526. I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor is passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth. Our toil ends at the close of the day. Only one life. Only one life to give. And with only one life to live upon the earth. Let's sing of the words as we sing them together. Going to read the word of God as we have it here in Acts chapter 16. I want to make a few brief comments on this passage, and then we'll come to reports tonight as we think of the outreach that will be done this year in Romania. Let's read God's word as we have it in Acts 16, verse 6 through to verse 12. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief part, the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Ending the reading there at verse 12. Paul is in the city of Troas when he receives what we know from God's word, the Macedonian call. He sees a man in a dream, in a vision, that beckons him to come over and help him. And the apostle is convinced in his heart that this is the mind of God, this is the will of God. And immediately we're told by the apostle, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And so they set sail, and they eventually came to their destination, which was Philippi. And the Lord was pleased in his mercy to do a work there. Now I have moved this, and I'm not getting any, not moving on at all for me. It's very important that it moves on tonight because we've got a slide presentation to give to you. There you are. That just goes to prove, don't move anything if it's going. So we'll probably have to call in our technician. We just call Samuel, Samuel, as it was in ancient times. And we're not going to tell you to go and lie down again, Samuel. We're going to say, come up here and see if you... It's the Macedonian call. Yes, it is. If you're watching it at home, do not adjust your set. This is all happening here. Okay, we should. Thank you. So the Lord was pleased to bless the labors and the ministry of the great apostle. And there were conversions here. And we didn't take time to read the rest of the chapter, but we go on to read about Lydia, the seller of purple. She was a businesswoman. And this was a riverside conversion. Paul went to that place where prayer was wont to be made, and he preached the word of God to them. The gospel was presented to these ladies who had come to pray, and something wonderful happens in the heart of Lydia. Her heart is opened, reminding us that salvation is God's work, and we can preach and preach and preach, but until God does this work that we read about in Lydia's life, nothing's going to be accomplished. And God opened her heart to attend unto the things that the apostle had spoken, and Lydia was wonderfully converted. We also have the case of a demon-possessed girl who ran after Paul and the apostles, and she was wonderfully delivered, we believe also converted to Jesus Christ, who had delivered her from demonic oppression. And then the third case was the amazing conversion of a hard-hearted jailer. He wasn't interested in the suffering of these men. In fact, he fell asleep. But Paul and Silas, they're praying. They're praising God in the midst of their affliction, in the midst of their incarceration. And at midnight, there was an earthquake. And that earthquake eventually led to the conversion of this man. Not only him, but his family were also converted. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our short-term visits to the mission field have always got a purpose, and that is gospel ministry. Nothing more important, whether it's a missionary going out full-time to serve the Lord, or whether it is you and I going out for a short time to serve the Lord in the mission field, than we present the gospel. That's why we're there. The Great Commission is to go into the world and preach the gospel. And of course, we get the opportunity to do many other things. We can work with the poor, and we do that. We know something of the blessing that Jesus Christ spoke about that is mentioned by the Apostle Paul. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when we go to the mission field, we give of our time, we give of our love, we give of our talents, we give of our energy, we give of our money to feed the poor, and we get a little bit of the experience of what Christ referred to in Matthew 25. I was anhungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. But the most important thing, as far as we are concerned, is the gospel, the presentation of Christ. And the Lord has been pleased to use these visits in times past. Probably the most remarkable visit to the mission field that I've ever had was when our young people went in 2019 to the land of Uganda, and we saw the Lord move in a way that I've never seen in my ministry, and I don't know whether the Lord will be pleased to let me see it again, but you will remember that there were 100 people converted to Christ, 75 at the school and 25 children down at the other place where we went for the conference. Just amazing things happening among the children. We'd be walking through the premises of the school. A child would come up to you and say, "Listen, I want to get converted." They'd been in the meetings, they heard the gospel, and the Lord had been working in their heart. And there was that other moment when, after a meeting, there was a little gospel invitation that was given. If anyone wanted to get right with God, just wait behind. We didn't ask for a show of hands. We didn't ask anyone to stand up. Just wait behind. And almost a whole class stayed behind. We had to explain it several times to them. And then we said, "Listen, if you really desire to be saved, we want you to come down to a certain classroom." And we identified that place. And that whole group of young people went down. And again, we took time when we went to that classroom to explain what salvation was and what these young people were now committing themselves to do. "Do you really want to be converted?" And they all indicated yes, and they profess faith in Christ. But other times we've gone, as we're going to Romania, and we have had the opportunity to share the gospel. We believe in some cases we've been a stepping stone because we've heard of some coming to the Lord after our visits. At other times when we were there, we had the joy of pointing individuals to Jesus Christ. The Lord has been pleased to use these visits. So we're asking you to pray, and that's the main thing that we want you to do tonight. As you think of the passage before us, we have, I believe, a call. Come over and help us. These people have requested that we come and help them, that we do a ministry with them, that we preach the gospel. We are convinced in our hearts, as the apostle was, this is the will of God. We're going in the will of God, and we will take our journey, as you'll see tonight, on the 24th of June, and we will be away for 12 days. We pray that we shall be able to help these people in many, many ways, and particularly in the sharing of the gospel. We ask the Lord to bless his word, and we ask the Lord that he might be pleased to save souls for his glory. And this is what we're requesting the church back at home to do, to pray for us. Now, we're going to think about this outreach work in this year of 2022. It'll have been 3 years since we were able to do this. He's away to get his notes. I'm not sure. 24th of June through the 5th of July. So it's 12 days, 11 nights we are away, and we have a 17-strong team. Most of them, of course, are from our own congregation here. My wife and I are going. Wesley and Helen are going. Their two sons, Jordan and Luke. Likewise, Chrissy Blair, Samuel Bull, Ben and Aaron Galt, Kerry Halliday, Rebecca Owens, Keziah Owens, and then we have Deborah Huddleston and her daughter Rachel and her son Luke. They're from the Cumber Church, and they come to worship with us from time to time here. They heard about the trip, and we had a discussion with them, and they're going to come with us as well. And then Anita. Anita is here tonight. Anita Pavlenkov, if that's the right pronunciation, in the will of God, will be coming with us. Now, we do have aims and objects, and we always set this before the group every year that we go. We want to cultivate a missionary interest in each member. And so when they go to the mission field, I know that it will make changes in their heart. I know they'll come back differently. And one of the things that it will affect them in is this missionary challenge. And they'll be able to pray for the work more intelligently, having been there. We want to create a deeper love for precious souls. And you can't go to the mission field and serve the Lord without having a burden for those that are lost. We want to challenge our young people regarding God's work. And quite a few of those that are in Bible college have had these experiences of going to the mission field for a short period of time. And we pray that that will even happen among some. We want to be a channel of blessing to those that we minister unto. We want to cement friendships among the team and on the mission field. I think that has happened. Those that have been to the mission field are still in contact with people on the mission field. Our young people that went to Uganda and those that have been to Romania, I know that they're friends with folks back in those countries. We want to convert souls to Christ if the Lord be pleased. And we want to cause greater interest in missionary work in other people. So when these young people who are stirred in their heart, they visit the mission field, they come back, they bring back an enthusiasm that encourages other people to get involved in this kind of ministry. We want to concentrate our prayers more directly and intelligently, and that happens. And then number 9, to crown the Lord with glory in all that we do. Just so you know in advance what the program is, Friday the 24th of June, we leave early in the morning, travelling down to Dublin Airport, and we fly, I think it is, to Munich. There's quite a layover there on the way out, not arriving in Timisoara until about 10:30 that night. Saturday, we hit the road running, and that's a day trip to Moldovanoa. We go to Romania, we try to visit this place where we have contacts, especially as we work among the poor and the Roma community there. It's about a 2.5-3 hour journey, setting off in the morning, coming back in the evening. On the Lord's Day, we will be attending the services in Bethany. That should be an E there, Bethany Baptist Church in Timisoara. On the Monday and on the Tuesday, we're doing a vocational Bible school with the Deborah House girls, and that's an all-day thing for both those days. Wednesday, there'll be a revolution tour and probably a walk with the Deborah House girls. And then that evening, we travel to Alesht, and that's about 3.5-4 hours of a trip to get up. That's why we're going on the Wednesday night, so that we're there in the morning of Thursday and all day Friday, and we do a vocational Bible school with the children there. So the morning time, for a couple of hours, we will be working with the gypsy children that they have contact with. In the afternoon, we will be visiting some of the poor families. And then in the evening, we're coming back to the church there from 5 o'clock until 8 o'clock at night. And we're doing another vocational Bible school in the evening with the children of the church. After all that, Saturday is a visit to Oradea City. The pastor will bring us there and the group will get a tour of that city. The Lord's Day, we worship in Alesht, and the morning service, and then the parents' night, concluding the vocational Bible school. And we travel to Timisoara, that long journey back, so that we're there on Monday just to have one free day before travelling home on the Tuesday. So that's the program. And the young people and the older people are excited about it, looking forward to it. We did ask for some volunteers. It's always best to get a volunteer rather than a conscript. We wanted maybe someone to speak who has been to Romania and what this trip has meant to them, and maybe somebody that hasn't been and they're going out. So we have 3 of our young people that are going to bring reports, and then I'm going to show you some slides of 2019, what we did back then. So we have Rebecca, and then we have Chrissy. They've both been to Romania. We're letting the ladies go first. And then we have Kerry, who hasn't been, this would be a first experience for her. So we'll just ask you in that order to come up and make your report. Thank you very much. First of all, Rebecca, come here. All right, so everybody can see you and you can see them.
So as Mr. Park said, I was part of the mission trip to Romania in 2019, and I've talked about it in church before, and if you know me, I've definitely talked to you about it before, because I don't stop when I start. But a big group from our church went that year, and there was a lot of young people, and I'd always wanted to go to Romania. I've always heard of experiences about it and of mission trips there, and I'd heard of the blessing it was to everybody that went, but I didn't really know what to expect when I got there, and I didn't have low expectations, but I didn't have really any expectations, and that means they were exceeded even more than I thought they could have been. It was such an amazing experience. I don't think I ever have or ever will experience anything like it again. You see pictures and videos of mission trips and VBSs and everything they do over there, but it's nothing compared to actually being there, serving the Lord and seeing it all right in front of you. I was so moved at so many things, and I could talk about it for ages, but what touched my heart the most was going to see the Roma community. It was so moving and so touching, and seeing face to face with their poverty and how little they had, but how much joy they had, and their love they had for all of us. They were so easy to get on with, and despite the language barrier, it didn't seem to matter at all. And we formed such great relationships and such great friendships with them, and that's something I'll never forget. I grew such a strong bond with the children when I was there. It was so hard to leave, but as the trip went on and that bond and friendship I had with them all grew, my love for their souls and my want for their souls to know Christ became even more as well. And I just wanted to share God's love, and that's what I remembered coming out of the trip, coming home and telling people that it was just amazing to see how God moved in everybody's hearts that was there, and seeing God's love for them. And he did use us, and we heard of souls that were saved after the trip, and it's really an experience I'll never forget. I'm so thankful that God gave me the opportunity to go. It was just absolutely amazing. And my heart will always have a place for Romania, and that's why I wanted to go back so much. I was meant to go in 2020, but obviously that was cancelled, so I'm so happy to be going again this year. And I just would like you to all pray that as we go this year, that God will move through us. That it won't be our work, but it will be God's work that he does through us, and that he will give us blessing, and that souls will be saved, because that's the ultimate goal while we're there. I'd just like you to remember that in your prayers, and remember all the people that we're going to see, because we're doing so much more than we did last time in such a short space of time, as you just saw, and we'll probably be wrecked, but I'm sure it'll be a really great experience. And again, I'd just like you to pray for the souls of everybody in Romania and for the team as we go out. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Well, good evening. Most of you know me already. My name's Chrissy. Reverend Park's already said I'm part of the team going to Romania this year. Between the 24th of next month and the 5th of July. Again, as he's already said, this is my second time visiting the country. So I went in 2019 with Rebecca and the team, and it was a great encouragement. So he asked me to give a very brief report of our time last time. So roughly about 20 of us made the trip, first to Timișoara and then on the Mulmanoa. We went out as two separate groups, one group led by the Reverend Park and the other group led by his ever responsible son Andrew, who I don't see here tonight, but if he's watching online, you owe me a fiver for saying that. We spent the first two evenings in Timișoara, one of these being a Sunday, so we attended Bethany Baptist. And even though the church, you know, even though it was always in a different language, apart from the Reverend Moffat and the Reverend Park speaking, I can say that I thoroughly enjoyed them, but if you're a bit like myself and you struggle to sing in English, when you try singing in Romanian, it's even that wee bit harder. The following Monday, then, we went to Muntlanoa, which is just on the border of Serbia, I think. Is that right? And conducted a vocational Bible school with the children there. Much like the children's meetings we have here, they learned choruses, did quizzes, memory verses, etc. We also took this time to do other activities such as crafts and games with the kids. The sort of females of the group, they looked after the crafts, while us so-called young, fit, energetic young men decided to take the games in that part. I'll let you class for yourself if you want to class the Reverend Park in that category or not. But this gave us a good chance to bond with the kids over that time. And I was just amazed by sort of the energetic levels of them. You know, when you're running about in 30-degree heat and they're running about in a pair of jeans and a jumper on, whilst us boys are, you know, we're burst after 10 minutes. It makes you really think. But these meetings lasted from early in the morning to the middle of the afternoon. And following this, we conducted other things such as, you know, distributing food to the poor families and around the area. And also going in around the Roma community. Just going in to see where these people lived, you know, in a room not much bigger than your living room. And maybe 9 or 10 of them living and sleeping in these areas at all times. It really opened my eyes. And, you know, these people really have nothing. And when you're coming up to them with, you know, small purchases, maybe of food and water that you've bought, you know, it just, they see the smiles in their faces for them times. It's something that hits you hard. But, you know, I've been asked at times, what do you buy them in them times? And, you know, we bought them bread, water, fruit, etc. Stuff that they didn't need cooking appliances for, because obviously they don't have them over there, but I know more than anybody that even with all the cooking appliances of the day, sometimes the product doesn't come out the way it's supposed to. We also purchased washing machines for them while we were there, and just to see them get this small appliance that, you know, we take for granted, was, you know, the joy on their faces was something that I couldn't believe. At the end of our week, then, we held a parents' night for the children of the vocational Bible school, where their children's family members were able to attend and hear the choruses and memory verses that they had learned throughout the week. And more importantly, that these families got to hear the Word of God in this instance. This is the first time that many of them had maybe heard the Word of God. And just they think we can hear it at any point, mostly any corner in this land, any Sunday, and they don't hear it at all. But after this year, it was time to say our goodbyes and head back up the road day to Mishawara, and it must have been at this point that hay fever season hit high in Romania, for there was quite a few in the group had the eyes watering and a tear or two flowing. But as I said, the Reverend Part asked me just to give a small report, and when he was saying, he said maybe, you know, a couple of memorable experiences and blessings that we had throughout the trip. A few that I have is, one in particular is when we were just doing one of the normal meetings, and we were singing This Little Light of Mine, and the children are singing it as fluent as you want in English, and then they sung it in Romanian, and we sung it in English, and just to hear, you know, everybody uplifting their voices to the Lord at that point was something touching. And even the parents' night as well, to hear the children saying the memory verses in English, you know, it's not their first language, and they were able to learn it and repeat it word for word in English throughout that week. It was unreal. Maybe one other point that I sort of remember well, it's more a learning experience for myself, was when myself, my good friend Lewis McCauley and Joshua Park tried to iron our shirts for the Sunday services, as they'd been in the suitcases over the week. Now, after about 20 minutes of us trying to work how you switch the iron on and failing to this extent, our superhero came in the form of, sometimes I call her my second mother, or my Romanian mother, Mrs. Park, came to the rescue and had us looking sharp within a minute or two. So it must be true what they say, that not all heroes wear capes. Sunday this year, when the Reverend Park mentioned about the trip, I knew it was something that I had to be involved in, regardless. Not getting to go these past 2 years due to that old bug. As we all know, COVID-19 has made me miss the country more than ever. And even the last week, when we've had the Romanian visitors over, has made me even more excited for the trip. So just before we go, I would ask you, as the Reverend Park said, to pray for the group. Pray that we keep safe and well. Pray for the word that would be brought, and just more importantly, that souls would be brought to Christ. And just finally, last point, I would also say I'd like to encourage anyone who hasn't been on a missionary trip. Maybe you're thinking to go and you're not sure what to do. I would just tell you to go. It's one of the best experiences that I've ever had, and it says in the Bible, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, and verse 24, "But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what things he has done for you." Amen.
So I'm also a part of the outreach team going to Romania this year. My sister and auntie went 3 years ago. So I've been heard a lot about it, and I've seen a lot of pictures and memories they had, and it was definitely in my mind to go. Like Rebecca, I was meant to go 2 years ago, but due to COVID, it was cancelled. So when I heard we were going this year, I had no hesitation, and I really wanted to go. I really look forward to spreading God's word and hopefully be an example to the people over there in the vocational Bible schools, going out to different families and the churches and to even play some sport with them, because I'm a girl, but I'm not that good with crafts, so I need to do the sports. And also to spend time with other Christians that are going in the team with us, and to get to know Christ better through each other. And there are also the churches in the different other countries in Romania. Even having them over last week at Arlene's, and I got to know them, and it just, as Chrissy said, made me very excited to spend 12 days with them and to get to know even better. At first it came to my mind, and obviously it came to Chrissy's mind as well, was 1 Samuel 12 and verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you." When I think of how great the Lord has been to me even this year, and all the things he has done for me, and although this should be our mindset all the time to serve him, I'm very excited to serve him in Romania this summer. And like the hymn even says, God can use us every day, every hour, and I might not have the most knowledge, but I pray that God can use me in any way during the trip and the whole thing. Thank you.
There might be a reverse role there with the crafts and the sport, but we're glad to have Kerry, who is so proficient in football, and I know that'll go down a treat for the young people over there. Thank you for taking part, Rebecca, Chrissy and Kerry. I'm going to think about what we did 3 years ago. For me and for Susan, it was a joy 3 years ago because we were able to bring quite a few of our grandchildren. And that was just lovely to have the smaller kids with us as we went on outreach. We always, in the group, we have singers. You'll see a picture later of Rebecca. But here we have Victoria. And this year, I'm sure there's some singers among the group that might be willing to take part. It was good to have my son-in-law, Josh, because he preached a little bit for us as well, and we didn't have that to do at every meeting that we went to. And then, of course, that Sunday afternoon, we were able to invite the Deborah House girls who had come to worship with us to come and eat with us where we were staying, and that was just a special time as we gathered around the table in fellowship, the one with the other, and enjoyed a lovely time with the girls of Deborah House, because we weren't going to really see them so much on that trip So do remember these girls. We will spend 3 days with them, that the Lord will help us to encourage them in the midst of all the darkness that they have come from in their history and background. I think she's saying, look at the camera. All right, we want you to be in the picture as well. In the afternoon, we went to a place called Utveen, and Josh Moffat very kindly preached there. We like to visit the little village in Utveen when we travel to Romania. And the girls, they took part and sang. Back to Bethany in the evening time, and the whole group sang in the church, and Rebecca sang that evening as well. So as it has been mentioned, we went down to Moldovanoa. Moldovanoa is a place that you are familiar with now, on the banks of the River Danube, and a place that is closely associated with Christians escaping communism back in those days. If you were caught trying to escape, you would have been shot. And this is a place where they travelled from across the Danube over to Serbia. And we had all the kids gathered in from the Romanian church, and also the gypsy children came to the meetings as well. Various activities are done, and it's just a joy to work with these children. There's little Roxana. But we always come back for a children's meeting type service where we sing choruses together. They learn memory verses, and the Word of God is shared with them. And the crafts are done, and the children are delighted to do that each day. We had Briggy. You met Briggy last Lord's Day at the services, and she spent time with these children doing their hair. That was an extra little feature to that particular visit. And we also feed the children, so they get their lunch with us, and we're glad to be able to do that. And then we go out and we visit their homes. And this is one large room. And this mother, you see her at the top there. This might be one of the only bits that's working. This lady here, called Krina. And we have been visiting in Krina's home for quite a considerable period of time. And it was such a joy a couple of years ago to learn of her and her husband coming to trust Christ as their Saviour. They have grown up children. Ellie is living in London with her husband and little boy, and they're doing very, very well. But this lady's had 16 or 17 children. And we always have the opportunity to share the gospel with them, and they're always keen to listen. And as Rebecca mentioned, or maybe it was Chrissy, we got them washing machines because they didn't have this facility. We take a lot for granted in this country. So it's nice to go out, meet with the poor families, and distribute some food to them. These are the homes that they live in. And also have the opportunity to give out some clothes. And remember the container we sent? There were a number of bicycles that we were able to distribute as well. So that was the parents' night, finishing the vocational Bible school, gathering in parents and family and preaching the Word of God to them. And this is the group that went in 2019. We did return in 2019, my wife and I, and Dr. Barnes and his wife and his daughter as well. And we spent a little bit of time with the Deborah House girls. And we brought them these gifts, shoebox type gifts, before Christmas. So it was towards the end of November, and we were able to distribute these things to them. The guy in the pink shirt is the new pastor. His second language is German, so his English skills are not, we're not able to communicate with him, but we always have Grazie with us. And Grazie is a great translator for us. On that visit, we had the opportunity to bring the Roma children out to a pizza restaurant and treat them all with a pizza and Coke, and they thoroughly enjoyed it. We visited the Christian school. We had sent over selection boxes. We were able to give them out and then go around the kindergarten and speak to the infants there as well and share the message of the gospel and visit with Krina's family again. This little boy on the right-hand side, you may remember, he passed away very tragically. I think he was just 6 a couple of years ago. And when we visited, just there in the last visit, the mother was lamenting over the fact that she didn't have any photographs of him. And I said, we will take a look for a week, take plenty of photographs. And we were able to get this photograph. And not only just this one, but to cut him out and get a number of copies made for her and her family to have. Just a joy to stand in the middle of their little community and to share the gospel with them. And we were able to do it with the colours of the Wordless Book. We had a visit in February, as you know. Jonathan and Aaron came with us, and that was a very memorable time as we visited some of these friends that we got to know and the churches as well, and back to Deborah House and had a time of fellowship with them, down to Muldamanoa, just to spend time sharing the gospel again in the open air in the month of November when it's colder. And Aaron had the opportunity to give the children some chocolate and sweets, and they really appreciated that. This is their community. These are the houses, their derelict houses that they live in. So do remember them in the midst of their poverty, that they'll find the grace of Almighty God. The Deborah House girls had not been able to attend physically church. They worshipped at home for 2 years because of COVID. But when we went there in February, they did make the effort, and VRL, the house father, brought as many as he could in the minibus in to worship with us in Bethany that particular Sunday morning. Then we travelled up to where Pastor Sabine and his wife labour now in Alisht. This is a new area, and that's where we're going on this trip. And we spent time with him and his church, and also the children here of the school. We will be visiting this school. This school was built for poor children. 90% are gypsy children that attend that school. And we visited the families. And then we came to the end of our trip. This visit had a connection with Ukraine because they were beginning to prepare facilities at Bethany Church to receive Ukrainian evacuees. And we came back and we got the pallets together and we sent them out to Romania to be used with the Ukrainian people. And then you remember we were able to use the pastor as he took the money that was necessary to the border of Ukraine to help these folks. And I think some of these church people, our friends, will recognize tonight. So we're asking you tonight to pray for the outreach this year as we leave in June, at the end of June. Pray that God will be glorified in all that we seek to do. Great American evangelist D.L. Moody, he said this: I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do by the grace of God, and that which I can do by the grace of God, I will do. I want to say to the group tonight particularly, but I want to say to all of you, you are one person. You might only be one, but you are a person. And God has gifted you with life. And you can't do everything, but you can do something. And when you endeavour to do that something for the Lord, you can do it by his grace. Another great missionary was Hudson Taylor. God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. We go there in all our weakness, but we go there leaning on the Lord himself. And just to finish with another quote from David Livingstone, missionary to Africa: God had an only son, and he was a missionary. And when we do missionary work, we're following in the footsteps of Christ. 672, there's a call comes ringing, oh, the restless wave, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light. And verse 2 comes to remind us of that vision that Paul had, the Macedonian call, when the man that he saw said, come over and help us. And we are responding to that kind of a call. We're going over to help these folks in Romania in the will of God. You will get an opportunity, if you would like, to help support this ministry and some of the things that will be done while we're there. And so we'll give the retiring offering tonight to the work in Romania. Thank you very much. Coming to our time of prayer tonight, and at the beginning of the meeting we mentioned certain things to you. I want you to keep those in mind, let them be very much in our hearts as we pray. Next week is the Ballymoney show on the Friday and the Saturday. We always go there as a witness, so we will have a stall, we will have gospel literature, and if you'd like to help man that stall, just be there and to be friendly to people passing by, to be a witness where the opportunity arises, we would like you to come and do that. And you could take a slot, maybe an hour. If you can do that, see our brother John McCauley, and he will take your name and get you onto the rota. We'd really appreciate your help in this matter. Sunday week is Youth Sunday, and our young people will be responsible for those services. Our students will be preaching, the young people will be taking part, they'll be singing, they'll be testifying, and so forth. And it's always a feature in our calendar here at Hebron. We love our young people, we want to see them doing well, going on with God, serving the Lord, and you pray for them and Samuel as he oversees that, and the other youth workers as well. We say good night to those that are listening in with us on Sermon Audio. I want to thank you for being part of our service this evening. We trust that you've been challenged and that you'll pray for us as we go to Romania at the end of next month. Well, thank you for tuning in. Good night.